The title of my talk is Desire, Affliction, Addiction. And it was inspired by Nellie's talk on Sunday on pleasure and pain. What is the relationship between pain and pleasure? When pleasure doesn't last, does it trigger dissatisfaction, disequilibrium? We attempt to cling to the perfect day, the perfect weather, a perfect peach. We are constantly presented with overwhelming abundance, endless choice, variety, and novelty. My Facebook feed is inundated with ads related to anything I've ever purchased, anything I've ever looked at, anywhere my gaze has lingered. Anytime I have read reviews, browsed for bargains, or researched medical conditions, targeted ads show up on Facebook thanks to algorithms. I use Facebook as a way to keep in touch with friends and family, but I'm bombarded by tailored ads which condition me to want more and to stoke my desire. Go to the grocery store. You'll find 40 varieties of breakfast cereal, 40 different kinds of tea. Which will you choose? I can't make up my mind. Maybe I'll buy two kinds of tea. Consumption is highly rewarded, a hit of dopamine. What is your drug of choice? Is it your smartphone, computer, Facebook, or favorite social media platform? Texting a certain family member or friend. Another cup of coffee. Another glass of wine. Another piece of chocolate. Another pair of shoes. A series on Netflix. The latest fiction by your favorite author. Or perhaps the news. How many news sources do you seek? Are you a once-a-day reader? Or do you like to keep up with the latest breaking stories? Greed becomes toxic, turns to poison, demands more. The more you have, the more you want. It is the insatiable thirst, the unquenchable fire. Dopamine and more dopamine, the more it takes to satisfy. I tell myself, if I can just have this object or this experience, this person's attention and love, I will be satisfied, if not forever, then for a long time. But once we have the object of our desire, we are on to the next new thing. We crave novelty, and we still believe the lie that something outside ourselves can satisfy us. When all of our experience teaches us otherwise, it is only a temporary fix. And what about aversion, rejection, repulsion, irritation, even hatred? When we are stuck with something we don't want, when something comes between us and the object of our desire, when something makes us uncomfortable or angry or triggers us, or if we get bored with our object of desire and no longer get that same dopamine rush. Can we look at the conditions that play into our moods? Did I not get enough sleep? Did I eat well? Not too much sugar, not too much spice. What are the conditions that contribute to how we respond to grasping or rejecting? Did my boss have stern words and unreasonable expectations? Did I argue with my spouse, my adult child, my friend? Did something happen on the news that upset me? Am I feeling overwhelmed, overworked, strapped for cash? Under the weather. Old habit patterns, where do they begin? From my family of origin? or from my ancestors several generations removed? Is there some genetic tendency in me to be highly sensitive? Was it passed down through my mother's mother's trauma? Was it my diet of bologna and white bread, candy and sweets during my adolescence? Was it my parents' divorce when I was young? A bully in school who teased me? A teacher who criticized me? Or on the other hand, did I get praised for a particular talent that made me want to practice and engage in it more? Did I get more attention for a certain kind of behavior? Was I granted more opportunity, more privilege because of a particular aptitude? So many conditions, some known, some to be uncovered and discovered, some forever hidden. What is your favorite vice? Do you have a love-hate relationship with your craving? Do you identify with it? Have you ever tried to get rid of it, go cold turkey, or dial it down? How successful were you? Think of an old familiar habit that you still carry. Is it always present? Does it get activated in times of stress or boredom? Are you able to notice any of the conditions around your habit? Its origin? What feeds it, triggers it, activates it? When is it not present? Or when is it in the background instead of being front and center? When is the volume turned way down to the point of being almost imperceptible? How does it play out in your life? Here are lyrics from a song I wrote several years ago. Old habits are hard to break. I'm making the same mistakes since I don't know when. Now I've done it again, leaving a fine mess in my wake. And from another song, you can count the ways you want it. It's nothing short of an addiction. But if you feed the need, it's guaranteed to further the affliction. Oh, let it go and turn your face within to the place where love begins. Let it go. Sounds like such an easy instruction. And yet is so hard to achieve. Some habits are with us throughout a lifetime. We are conditioned or programmed for them to appear in times of stress or boredom. Can you begin to notice when your habit of choice is activated? What conditions are at play? And when have you noticed these habits receding? Do they ever lose their potency? So that's the end of my talk. We are going to meditate for 30 minutes.